May be seated and be turning to Matthew in chapter 6. A little bit of an abbreviated service today. We're a little light. A lot of people are traveling, and I wanted to give everyone an opportunity to be able to get out to take your moms somewhere to eat today before the crowd hits. We are grateful for all of the mothers here that are setting the examples, following the example of the Scripture and what it means to be a woman. And I'm so thankful for that. Thankful for my own mother who did that and continues to do that in my own life. We're going to be in the Lord's Prayer. We're just going to kind of do an introduction today as we've been going through this Sermon on the Mount. We will pick up and read beginning in verse number 5. Of chapter 6 of Matthew, and read through the end of 15. This is the word of the Lord. And when you prayest, you shall not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not you therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'll stop there. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we are so grateful that we have your very words to read and to think upon. We are so grateful, Holy Father, that you also have sent your Spirit into the world to teach us and to make yourself known to us through the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless us now, Lord, I pray, as we spend some moments here in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'll title this today, The Prayer the Disciples Overheard. The Prayer the Disciples Overheard. We're just going to kind of scratch the surface today on the Lord's Prayer, but I really want to maybe help us to enter across the threshold of this presence of the Father that was seen by the disciples and by Jesus' mother in Jesus Christ. In the version of Luke of this prayer, we have Jesus saying here in Luke 10 and 21, where the Lord's Prayer is given there, Jesus said, in that hour he rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Now he's saying this out loud. The disciples are hearing him as they heard him many times. Just, he's walking along. He's just talking to the Father. Father, I thank Lord of heaven and earth that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are your eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. And the disciples, hearing this, hearing Jesus pray this way many times, would say to him, Lord, teach us to pray like that. Now, these disciples had grown up hearing prayer. They were in a culture of prayer. And that's what Christ is correcting here in the sermon when he said, don't pray in vain repetitions. We can even turn this beautiful prayer into just something we say out loud, rush through it, and not enter into the essence of prayer. But these disciples had seen Christ pray. They had seen, and they wanted to be able to talk like that to the Father. Imagine even his mother, as she observed this throughout her life too. Maybe even when he was 12 years old there in the temple in Luke chapter 2. She had probably heard him talk this way already. And whenever, you know, he's left behind and they go to the temple and find him and they're upset. And Jesus said, how is it that you sought me? Don't you understand that I must be about my Father's business? And he was always about his Father's business. He's always seeking after his will. He said in one place, it is my meat and drink to do the Father's will. And here this very Christ who they had overheard praying goes up on the mountain on this day about 2,000 years ago on a spring day much like this one, where the birds could be heard and the breeze felt in the face. And this God revealed in the flesh sits down and is teaching us how to pray, how not to pray. And so he tells them, pray like this, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Having overheard this sweet communion and fellowship, and having sensed the very presence of the Father with Jesus Christ, they wanted to have that. I think they sensed the joy. They saw the joy that Christ had in this fellowship with their Father. In fact, what they were seeing, and maybe we'll look at a little bit later, is that they were seeing an unbroken communion and fellowship and love that had been going on forever. We were in Proverbs 8 a few Wednesdays ago, and in that Proverbs there, it talks about how Jesus Christ was always before the Father, and the Father has always rejoiced in the Son. And we have this wonderful, hard to understand reality of Father, Son, and Spirit that have always existed in a community, a family, where they just talk to each other freely and openly. And isn't that what we want in our families? Christ had that kind of communication and that fellowship with his Father, and it was attractive, and they wanted to have that. And I would just tell you today that if you can just kind of think about that, what that was like, and even in your own prayer life, you've sensed that reality and that presence of Father. And we don't have it like Christ did, but we do have it from time to time. I think that's what we're trying to have. We're pressing towards that. We want our hearts to have this desire of communication and fellowship with our fathers. And as we have that, and as we press into that, as we enter across this threshold of our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, we will be increasingly more and more conformed to be like Christ in this fellowship and in this communion. So he says, after this manner, pray ye. After this pattern, after this way. Pray like this. Your Father knows what you need before you ask. He's telling us there. But when you pray, pray like this. Your Father knows. The Father has sent you the Holy Spirit even. So there's going to be even those times that we enter into this prayer that we need to remember that Romans 8:26. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses and our inability to pray. And there's times we don't even know what we should be praying for, but the Spirit, it says there, will help us. He will make intercession for us. He will speak and pray for us and through us in our praying to this Heavenly Father, the glorious Father. So the first thing we'll just look at is this one who we're praying to, our Father. It says here, our Father and not my Father. I think there is a way where Jesus is trying to bring us out of our selfish praying to pray in the plural, our Father. Our Father which art in heaven. It's okay to start and say, Father, help me today. But when we pray our Father, it helps drive us out of this habitual self-absorption to think of others too. Our Father which art in heaven. Father is paternal. The idea of Father, the true Father, means protection, provision, affection. The word Father means the male ancestor, masculinity. Father by creation and recreation. In John 14:6, Jesus tells us the only way that you can get to this Father in this kind of communication that these disciples overheard Jesus having with Father was through Christ. Jesus said unto them, I am the way to that kind of sweet, restored fellowship and communication that everybody is longing for. I am the way. I am the truth. The only way, the true way that you can enter into fellowship and communion is through Christ. And He is the life, the regeneration, the new life, being raised from a dead life, and our default destination, which is destruction, and being restored to life and headed towards this sweet fellowship with the Father. So Father is our Father by creation. He is the God and Father of all men and women everywhere through every age, from the many that have always lived. But when we enter into this prayer and say, our Father, this is Father by the Holy Spirit of special Father, the children of God, those that have been raised from death to life, who now understand that they've been restored to that fellowship that was lost in Adam. Everyone has Father hunger. It's in your design specifications. Everyone desires to have relationship, protection, provision. Everybody desires to be cherished. And the only place any one of us will find it is in the true father. 1 in 4 children in the U.S. have no father in the home. 17.4 million. That's off of a website called fatherhood.com. It's not even a Christian website that is talking about the epidemic and the plague of fatherlessness. And not just that, but in all the homes where there are fathers, fathers are not putting forth the right example of fatherhood because they are lazy and they have no character. They don't follow through. They don't love. They don't cherish. They don't protect. They're consumed with their own pleasure, and marriages are blowing up over it, and a whole generation is growing up that's rejecting God and masculinity because they don't know what fatherhood's supposed to look like. But in the church, we do. In the church, that image of fatherhood is being restored through repentance and faith so that we can model that as we ought to. There are many, even here, who had fathers that did not model that. And yet, through the word of truth and the Holy Spirit, they have been restored to this sweet fellowship with the Father like Christ had, in a way, in a measure, so that they now understand fatherhood is good. Fatherhood is necessary for there to be healthy motherhood and healthy children. So I'm grateful that that's been restored. I heard a story this week about Charles Hodge. Charles Hodge was a Princeton theologian and a teacher at the seminary there. And whenever they were showing him the place where he would live as he was in residence there, they were showing him the study where he would have his books and where he would write and where he would prepare for classes in order to raise up preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they asked him, after the tour of this house, what he thought about his house and if there was anything else that he needed. He said, there's just one thing that needs to be changed. He said, the doorknob on my study needs to be lowered so that all of my children can have free access and get to me at any time. You are children of the Father by faith in Jesus Christ. We have access to Him at any time. The doorknob is low enough even for me and you to enter in by the door of Jesus Christ. Next, let's just talk a minute about the great privilege that we have to say, our Father. And when I say that, I mean anybody can say those words. There are multitudes that say the Our Father over and over again without any heart or affection. What a privilege to be able to say those words, Our Father, and know He's listening, and know He's in the room, and that He loves you, and that He cherishes you. Galatians 4:5 says that we were redeemed out of the curse of the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. So when we were born, He was not our Father. In fact, as we understand what Christ was saying to those Pharisees over there, these false religious teachers, He said, you're of your father, the devil. By default, we're born under the prince of the power of the air, and that is our father, unless God rescue us from that. What a privilege to be rescued from that. I understand 120,000 souls a day are dying. Young people, children, dying. Every day, and entering into eternal bliss or wrath. And we live in a day where everybody is so intoxicated with entertainment and distraction and information that they don't even understand the gravity of what's at stake. And they don't even care. They can't wait to get to the next thing, whatever that is. But blessed are those who understand the gravity and the bliss and the pleasure of being able to say, "Our Father." You see, children grow up under the shadow of their father. Fathers cast big shadows. One of the things that would call a true humble man of God to tremble is the fact that his kids are going to grow up and be a lot like him. And yet, if we've had good fathers, we can always find those good things and continue to cultivate those good things and leave the bad behind and hang on to the good and grow and head towards not the shadow of sinful fathers, but the light of the Father of lights. The Father wants to deliver you from that lie. What was that lie? I mean, even believers, we still live under the shadow of the lie of the false father. Pastor Ferguson has mentioned this many times, but we're under that lie that said, you know, God can't be trusted. He's holding out on you. He's holding this one tree out on you, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Can't trust him. He will not provide for you. Can't protect him. You can't even trust his word. Does he really say that? You know what he's keeping from you? Godhood. You can be just like him. God, make up your own Ten Commandments. Live any way you want. Live after the imagination of your own heart. And that was the lie. And our first parents bought into it. Many are still under that lie today, believing that, living in fear all the time. And then the wicked drive everybody with fear all the time, being manipulated by fear. But God the Father wants you to be delivered from that fear, the fear of death, the fear of being manipulated, because he is trustworthy. His word is trustworthy. He does provide. He does protect. He does cherish. He is the good Father. In Galatians 3:26, you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism makes us church members, but it is faith that makes us children of God by union with Jesus Christ. Are you in union with Christ? Have you ever prayed in such a way that you had pleasure in the praying and you didn't want to leave it? Do you sense that spirit of adoption that we have? They were overhearing Christ talking all the time. It's easy, free-flowing communication, pouring out his heart to God the Father. It's the same spirit that we have by adoption. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Father. And so we've delivered out of fear to a spirit of security, hope, trust, having our Father hunger satisfied by the true Father. We are also children of God by faith, by promise. In 2 Corinthians 6:18, this the Father speaking to you right now, and he says this: I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Isn't that great? Isn't there great dignity in being sons of this Father? What is this dignity of sonship? You are precious. You are precious in his sight. Isaiah 43:4, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honorable and I have loved you. Your dignity is seen in that he is not ashamed to be called your father. Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better country, the people of faith. That is a heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Isn't that kind of mind-boggling to think he's not ashamed to be called my Father, my God? Your dignity is seen as a child that can enter into this kind of conversation with Father in 1 John 3:1. Behold! What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. What dignity. John was amazed when he said that. He said, behold, how is this possible? That we should be called the sons of God. You are called the excellent in whom is all his delight in Psalm 16:3. You have great dignity because you carry the kingdom within you. This kingdom that Jesus is laying out in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you in Luke 17:20-21. And as a child of God that can enter into this sweet fellowship and communion, you have an inheritance. In fact, you are co-heirs with Christ. He's going to split the inheritance with the likes of me. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Knowing this dignity that is bestowed on you should deepen your heart's affection when you say, Our Father. Our Father which is in heaven. There are fathers in this world who have big houses. In fact, as Americans, our African brother and sisters would think we all live in palaces. But this Father of ours lives in a place with much more dignity, with much more splendor. Our Father, which is in heaven. Several times, Jesus calls him the Heavenly Father in the Sermon on the Mount. In the beginning, heaven and earth were all one, and then sin separated earth and heaven. Our God is in the heavens. He does us whatever he pleases. Psalms 115:3. It's good to know that you've got a sweet, loving, kind Heavenly Father that does us whatever he wants to do, and that you are his child, and you don't have to be afraid of anything, including cancer, or death, or persecution. Or the dollar crashing. He does whatever he pleases, and he's my Father, and whatever he does is right. Jesus would say in John 16, Now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me where I go. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. And again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So Christ went back into that place of heaven where our Heavenly Father is, to where we pray through the Spirit and through the blood of Christ's sacrifice. We have access into that presence of that place where our Father is in heaven. It's that very place when Stephen was being stoned to death. It says he looked and saw right into heaven and saw Jesus there standing on the right hand of God. And so as we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, we should contemplate heaven because that's our destination now, because He's our heavenly Father. And in the end, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, where earth and heaven will be restored again. And we read that in Revelation 21. Our Heavenly Father will then walk with us in the garden like He did Adam and Eve in the beginning. Where it says there in chapter 3, He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Where there was an unbroken fellowship that will be again one day in a way that's different now. We pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. This hallowed be Thy name is evidence of the desire of our heart. In the last message on hypocrisy, the one thing Jesus hates is those who come to Him with lips, singing and praying and saying spiritual things, but their heart is far from Him. In this prayer, hallowed be Thy name is our heart's desire, that His name would be hallowed. This is the holy ground that we begin the prayer with. This is our desire for His name. The word hallowed means we want it to be separate and different. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear people taking God's name in vain. And we don't want to see people living like hypocrites, taking His name in vain. We want His name to be hallowed. We want the whole world to see that when people are in this kind of relationship, this sweet fellowship of the Father, they're being changed for another world. They're no longer children of this world. They're no longer being conformed. They're being transformed. Their heart's desire has been let loose and freed from sin and set free now to love the things we were made to love, designed to love in the beginning. We want Father's name to be magnificent, to be wonderful, to be glorious. Psalms 8:1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. And Psalms 148. Let them praise the name of the Yahweh, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. And as Father, Son, and Spirit are one, we call Christ, Jesus Christ, the name above all names. We have many names of God. We say, hallowed be Thy name. The Lord, to condescend to us, helps us understand His magnificence by giving us many different names whereby we know Him. We know Him as Elohim, as the one who created in Genesis chapter 1. We know Him as God Almighty. We know Him as the Lord our righteousness, the Lord who sees, the Lord who provides, the Lord who heals. The Lord is our banner, the Lord who sanctifies, the Lord our peace, the Lord our shepherd, the Lord who is there, the Lord of hosts, the highest, the God of seeing, the everlasting God, the mighty God, the Alpha and the Omega. And out of all of those names, we grasp this grand and glorious infinite Father. And yet when Jesus teaches you to pray, He says, just call Him Father. Our Father. Our Father which art in heaven. Present, kind, merciful, accessible through faith in Christ. And so this Father says to us, He wants you to be happy. The only way that you can be happy is to be holy. To be separate like He is. And that's what He calls us to in 2 Corinthians 6:17. He says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. This was the beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Are you seeing God in your life? Are you taking time to be holy? Are you entering into the secret prayer closet and closing the door, where the Father sees and will reward you with His presence openly? Well, this is just the beginning to this prayer, the threshold of presence. And this presence changes us. It's changing us from what we lost in Adam but are being restored in Christ. This presence is the joy, the fire of our hearts. It's the fire of prayer and worship, the desire, hallowed be thy name, not just with lips, but with hearts on fire, with hearts that are near to Him, with hearts that can overhear this conversation between Jesus and the Father and say, I want to pray like that. Father, teach me to pray. How may we know if we are children of the Father? Well, Christ has been teaching us that, but if you are a child of the Father, you will resemble the Father. So I think maybe I said this last time. You can look at children sometimes and you can say, oh, they look just like their dad, or they look just like their mom. There's a family resemblance. Where there are those who are like this Father, they will be full of joy and peace and patience and long-suffering. They will not be filled with anger and harsh words towards their wives or their children. They will be filled with patience and long-suffering and kindness. They will be weeping. They will be repentant. They will understand they need Christ. They have nothing to bring to the table except trust and faith in Christ, which they've been given. Repentance and faith is an ongoing thing. That's how we resemble this Father. That's how we know. Do we grieve over sin? Sin deforms, defaces, and deflowers. The worst thing about sin is that there are many people who think they're saved and they're not. It is so deceiving, it's so evil and wicked, that there's a multitude that even Christ says on that day will call upon His name, and He will say, I never knew you. You weren't in this relationship. You weren't calling on our Father in sincerity and truth. So the family disposition, this family resemblance, the way we know we're in this family, is that we feel any dishonor done to Him. In Psalm 17:15, this was the desire. Hallowed be thy name. This was the desire of the psalmist. I want your name to be hallowed, and I want to be like you. I want to resemble you. And the psalmist says there, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. Do you want to be satisfied? I shall be satisfied. You know, Mick Jagger was right. There's no satisfaction in this world. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Hallowed be thy name, Father. Help me to be like that. This family relationship leads us to have this disposition daily, where Paul describes it in Ephesians 4:21. If so be you have heard Him. Have you heard Him? Do you hear the Lord speaking through the words today? Do you feel the gravity and the weight of it? Have you heard him and you've been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your old way of living and the old man, the sinful patterns of behavior, which are corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the desire of the children, is to be like him. The desires of children is we want him to be all our desire. Reading a book right now called Desiring God. The subtitle is How to Be a Christian Hedonist. I love that. A hedonist is somebody who just pursues pleasure any way they can. They don't care. They're going to try everything. And they're pursuing it all to their destruction. But this pastor has rescued that word and said, you want to have real pleasure? You want to have the best pleasure you'll ever have? That's better than sex, drugs, and rock and roll? Come into the presence of the infinite Holy One through the blood of Jesus Christ. He will cure you from that madness so that you can live with the dignity of a son and a daughter of the Heavenly King. And so we seek to resemble him. We seek to honor him. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In our life, the way I behave, the way I act, help me not to bring reproach, Lord, upon you in any way. Well, then, wouldn't that have been wonderful to have overheard Jesus praying like that? You know, it says one time he went out and prayed all night. They were always hearing him pray. At his baptism, there was a voice that answered from heaven. There's another time that happens. When he's standing outside Lazarus' tomb, he's about to raise the dead. He said, take away this stone. And they said, he stinks by now. He says, Father, he starts right in. Father, I'm glad that you always hear me. And now I say this so that these people would believe. I am the resurrection and the life. Lazarus, come forth. Has he said that to your soul? Come forth. Mary had heard her son praying. Can you imagine the joy in a mother's heart of hearing her children pray? Some of you mothers already know that. I charge you, children, today, lay your hands on your mother today and pray for your mother out loud. Let her hear you pray. But what if you had that kind of unbroken communion like Jesus had for all eternity? He comes into the world. He has this eons and eons and eons of just rejoicing and having this sweet, perfect communion and fellowship and joy and pleasure. Can you imagine what kind of pain it would have been like to have had that broken? I don't know that we can comprehend that. But it happened to Christ. From the cross, Mary and at least John heard him say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Earlier in the garden, a couple of them that hadn't fallen asleep, whoever recorded this, saw him go a little further away and fall on his face and pray, saying, Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The cup. What was that cup that he was asking to pass away? What's the bitterest thing you've ever tasted? A green cucumber? We can kind of imagine, you know, something very bitter like that to drink. But this cup that was in front of Jesus was the cup that contained the eternal wrath of God for your sin. And he was going to have to turn that cup up and drink it all. Every bit of it. And in this exchange, imputation, whatever you want to call it, where Christ took upon himself your evil, your sin, your wickedness, and he drank it. And there at the ninth hour, as he had drank it to the last drop, he cries out saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And for the first time in the Son of God's life, he experienced broken fellowship. Have you ever experienced broken fellowship because of your sin? I mean, I have. And it's bitter. I hate it. But what if you were the perfect holy Son of God and you'd never had that? And you had to experience that. And even the Son turned its face away. And the whole world was dark. And he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Surely, surely, what killed him was a broken heart of that separate fellowship. Even before the spear pierced his heart, Christ was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's the greatest story of all. That's the gospel. Because apart from that, we don't have access into being restored, to having the emptiness. Everybody's going around constantly trying to fill the hole of the father hunger with stuff, stuff, stuff. And it will never work. But God is always present to heal through the words and through the way of the cross and through his Son, Jesus Christ, to restore that broken fellowship so that we might enter in to communion with him and say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, that's the beginning of the prayer. I've done my best to try to communicate what that means, to just be able to say that, the dignity, the privilege we have to say that, maybe even to awaken some here today that maybe have never had that. Maybe the Spirit is here going to wake you up and help you feel satisfied and joy and peace like you've never experienced before. I pray that God would do that. I call you to action. Again, I call you to the action of prayer and repenting and seeking this joy and this pleasure. The world got nothing for you. You think it does, just keep reading the news. It doesn't. The gospel of Jesus Christ is our hope. I pray that the Lord would bless you to know him. Father, thank you, Lord, this day that we can say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, let your name be hallowed here in this congregation. Let it be hallowed in the lives of the fathers here, that they would repent and that they would do everything they can to be headed in the direction of being like this Father. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in our hearts first. Let it rule and reign our passions, our anger, our emotions. Let your kingdom rule and reign. And then let your will be done perfectly on earth as it is in heaven. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Father, you always provide for us. You always have. You know what we need before we ask. And yet you say it delights you to hear us ask, just like a father delights to hear their children ask. So, Father, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, Lord, as we forgive those that sin against us. Let there be no root of bitterness in this place. Father, I pray for those that are suffering from bad fathers who have caused families to be split up and division and strife. I pray that you would let those children forgive their earthly father, so that they might come to know you, the Father of peace and joy and love and kindness. These things I pray in Christ's name. Amen.